There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, and Dalton, you're going to put the College Pick'em link up on our Facebook page, and then I will wipe it from over there and put it on the Twitter feed as well, or you can get it from Dalton's direct Twitter feed at Dalton Orwig, right? Right. Or is it underscore? I've had it in there so long. I think it's if you search at Dalton, it'll probably fill it in. But at Dalton Orwig, or just go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5. So, because we don't know exactly what the football season is going to be like for the SEC, but at least we're going through this part of it and being ready like it's going to, you know, going to go longer than a week with our college pick 'em like we do each year. Go get signed up. You know what? We get all kind of folks that are media folks from around the state that take part in this too. Maybe we can get our buddy Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. It's a straight up pick 'em, Todd. It's like a, you just pick the 10 games in the ESPN thing each week, and then we talk trash.
Well, as long as there's not a minimum bet, then I'll be fine. I learned my lesson about betting on college football.
There's
in
no
college.
Bet. There's no bet. What we do, yeah, not, there's no betting, but this is for a trophy at the end of the year. We get a suitable for display trophy that shows that you are the winner of the college pick'em if you win. So,
very cool. Well, I'm looking forward to it, man. Look, I mean, think about, I don't know, 3 months ago, and how many of us really thought that college football was going to happen. And here it is. It's SEC real football week. I'm pumped.
Yep, it's good, and I'll send you the link in a little bit to get you signed up. I want you part of that. All right, so a lot to talk about here. You know what? You and I talked during the news break, and I was recounting the fact that, and people were seemingly very happy when Angry Sean comes out. It's not very often. Sometimes perturbed or snarky. Perturbed or snarky Sean's pretty regular, but Angry Sean's not very often. But it is, and I started in on this last night on Twitter, and this is BS, man. Talk to me as a journalist. I mean, this Newsweek article, how charismatic Catholic groups like Amy Coney Barrett's People of Praise inspired The Handmaid's Tale. They still have that somewhat edited headline up. And then at the end of their Newsweek story, they have a retraction that says it wasn't, The Handmaid's Tale was not based on the group that Amy Coney Barrett's part of. So what? What, man? Where's the story?
Well, look, Newsweek has been going downhill for a long time. I mean, it's really sad. I remember, 10, 15 years ago, Newsweek was a really highly respected magazine. It's what you picked up, you know, at the dentist's office or whatever. They had great articles, great political commentary. Now it's just a joke. But they're not the only ones. You're going to see a lot of articles and to say nothing of cable news stories about Amy Coney Barrett, or whoever Trump nominates. I think it might be Barrett, but we'll see. Just discrediting them, attempting to discredit them, calling them crazy, things like that. And one of the things that I like to sort of take a step back and look at the bigger picture, you know, kind of see the full chessboard. And, you know, when liberals come after somebody like Amy Coney Barrett for her faith, her, you know, she's Catholic, devout, she is, she's conservative in part based on that. So, calling her names, criticizing her faith and all that kind of stuff, which they will do. They absolutely will do that. It makes her a more favorable pick in my mind because liberals will overcorrect, mm-hmm. right? They will overcorrect and go too far in trying to criticize her. And Sean, that stuff doesn't play. That stuff does not play in the middle of this country. I think you had a backlash to it. in 2018 from Brett Kavanaugh. And it'll be even more so this time around. And
the
smart people, smart liberals will avoid going too far on somebody like Barrett.
And maybe do you think they will avoid it at all levels, or they'll avoid it publicly and have surrogates like the author of that Newsweek article put things out? You know what I'm talking about? You're savvy. You worked in D.C., man. You say one thing, but you have your surrogates doing something else so you can push against it or just say, oh, I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, and there will be some of that to a degree. However, I think these days it's all lumped in together. And, you know, sometimes that can be unfair, and it happens on the conservative side, too. If somebody publishes a, BS article, then, everybody on the Republican side gets blamed. So there's a little bit of that going on. But if I was running the defense, right, if I was running the Senate Democrats or just the, defense of Supreme Court justice, I would make it all about Trump and not about the person. He is not going to nominate somebody that is honest to God, literally objectionable to the point where, they can't not, earn a Senate confirmation vote, right? These people have already been confirmed by the Senate. Federal judges have already been through that process. So they're better off just going to and keeping the message on Trump, saying, hey, he should have waited. This is, the process is bad. But the minute they start going after somebody, a female federal judge, personally attacking, and it's going to happen. I really think they're risking. I think they're playing with fire there.
Well, I wonder. There's been so many times, Todd, that I thought they fly too close to the sun. They go Icarus on this, and then it works or it doesn't have the plummet that you would think. Maybe this is the one, because if this is what they're bringing out in September, we're almost at October here. And so they're bringing out, if this is the best they have right now to bring out, or even if this is the batter up to the best they have to bring out, that there's nothing salacious here. It's that she's a devout Catholic. I mean, I wonder how that's going to, if that attack on that's going to resonate with a lot of Catholics that are Democrats, that are still Democrats.
Exactly, in places like Michigan, and Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. I mean, think about the demographics of those areas. And that's exactly what I'm saying. I mean, if this election is going to be decided by, just a few thousand votes maybe in those states. And so the fact that, like I said, if I'm running the defense for Democrats, I really want to avoid that. I want to avoid character assassination. I want to avoid personal attacks on religion.
On Trump, you're saying.
Stay on Trump. I mean, you can't really lose with that. But the minute they go after somebody for their faith, and by the way, the other judge down in Florida, same thing, right? Catholic and Hispanic.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the minute they start going there, I really think they could alienate a lot of voters. I'm not saying they necessarily come out and vote for Trump, but they might think twice about voting for Democrats.
Yeah, if this is the best they've got right now, it tells me they don't have much here. So your take, your savvy take, and then we can talk about whether there's hypocrisy or not here. But your sage take on whether this confirmation happens, that the nomination happens, Senate takes it up, and one of the two is confirmed.
Yeah, my sense is that Republicans are likely to confirm President Trump's pick, whoever it is. Either of the top two, I think, would get confirmed. I mean, you saw Mitt Romney today come out and say, yeah, look, I'm good. And, no worries here. And matter of fact, he kind of pushed back a lot at liberals on the subject. So that was sort of the third swing vote. Republicans, have 53 votes in the Senate. So they have three votes to spare before Mike Pence is called in to break a tie. Collins in Maine is a no. Murkowski seems like she's probably a no. So they had one more vote to spare. Everybody sort of thought that was Mitt Romney, and he looks like he's good. And so, look, a lot can go wrong, obviously, in a confirmation process. We've seen that before. I think we're likely to have a confirmed new member of the Supreme Court probably by Election Day.
That's big, and that may be what brings, there are people that showed up. There's obviously a calliope of different kind of people that showed up to vote for President Trump in 2016. There were folks that held their nose and voted for Trump because of this right here, because of the Supreme Court, right?
Absolutely. And I think the same is true this time around. Yeah. I'm fascinated by the politics that this has brought. I don't relish in it because a lot of it's going to get really ugly really fast. But, I mean, all right, do you have the vote, the Senate vote before Election Day, or do you have it afterwards? I think President Trump, he clearly wants it before Election Day because he rightly thinks that, hey, it might give him a really big bump, a big win. It might demoralize Democrats in swing states. He's right about that. But that really isn't the goal right now, not for Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell wants to confirm a justice. And so whatever senators need, you know, let's say a senator in a tight race right now, like a Tom Tillis or somebody, needs that vote after the election instead of before. Well, if that's going to get his yes vote, then that's what's going to happen. So I think those are the conversations that are happening right now in the Senate caucus. McConnell's going to do everything he can to craft a process and a schedule that wins him 50 votes.
Do you think like a Murkowski holdout is some kind of bailout, waiting for a deal? Or do you think that's really a no? Or Collins? You know what I'm saying? Are they looking for their version of a Cornhusker kickback?
Well, with Collins, that, you know, I think she's in the fight of her life in terms of elections right now in Maine, and is probably going to lose. So let's just say they're one vote short. Does having the vote after Election Day, when she's already lost and she's a lame duck, does that maybe get her vote? I mean, there's all kinds of different factors in here. And, you know, to your point about the questions about hypocrisy, of course there's hypocrisy. There's hypocrisy everywhere around this. You know, is Mitch McConnell changing his position from 4 years ago? Yes. Or is Chuck Schumer and Joe Biden and all the Democrats changing their position? Yes. I love how people just get all up in arms about why are these politicians changing their positions? That's what politicians do. I'm not saying it's a good thing. I'm saying that's part of politics. I mean, I'm writing a column today. You'll see it tomorrow. I say, look, politicians, that's what they do. They change their positions. I'm not saying it's nefarious. You know, George Bush told us no new taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Barack Obama told us we could keep our health care if we liked it. The conditions changed, and so did their commitments. And that's the nature of politics. And so I don't get, maybe it's just because I've worked in it for so long. I just don't get up in arms when politicians change their position, because that's what politicians do.
Yeah, I do the opposite. I point out the ones that don't. Right, that make people very like, and yes, I am a fan of Rand Paul's, but you know, that's one of those that it's sometimes he's prickly. Now he just doesn't change his position very often. All right, coming back, can you hold on a second, Todd?
Absolutely.
All right, come back more with Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. I'm gonna get him to tell y'all how to get signed up for his email 6 days a week. You've got to have this in your inbox, puts you miles ahead of anybody else at the office or your family or anything when you get started on a given morning. All right, be right back. News is next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 123 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Welcome back. This segment of the show brought to you by Harry's. Been shaving with Harry's 7, going on 8 years now. And Harry's just came out with their sharpest blade ever. And unlike some other razor companies, when they do improvements on their products, then they raise the price. Not Harry's. Their sharper blades are still as low as $2 each. And you can find Harry's new super sharp blades in big box drugstores and grocery stores near you. If you'd like to shop online, and let me add, support this show, you can get a trial set for just $3 when you use the code SEANS at checkout over at harrys.com. My name, S-E-A-N, and then the letter S at the end of it, Sean S, I guess for my last name, Sean S. At checkout at harrys.com. 100% quality guarantee. I'm telling you right now, y'all are going to love it. Everybody I know that signed up for Harry's over the years has given me a positive review on that move. Harry's available wherever you shop. Once again, you can get the sharpest blades ever in the big box, drug, and grocery stores near you. Just head on over to the grooming aisle, or better yet, Shop online. Harry's has a great offer for y'all. New customers get $5 off a Harry's trial set with code SEANS at harrys.com. Includes a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. And don't forget to use my code SEANS at checkout, SEANS at checkout, and give Harry's sharper blades a try. Check them out over at harrys.com. Hey, while we're talking websites too, my buddy Todd Stacey has a pretty darn good website that comes with an email 6 days a week. Tell them about it.
That's right. Every day we send out an email, or like you said, 6 days a week. We don't publish on Saturday, but we send out this email that is the daily rundown of everything you need to know from state politics to national politics. It's really a great time to be in the know because all the Supreme Court drama, the election coming up, we're what you need to know for the daily news. It's just aldailynews.com. That's the homepage. Click subscribe at the top. Enter your name and your email, and you'll be on the list. It's free, no cost at all, but we'd be glad to have you as a subscriber.
Talk about off of what you were just talking about here, and how if the left goes way too far here in an attack against, if it's Amy Coney Barrett or any whoever the nominee is, you know, if they attack for reasons like somebody's faith, this texter says, valid points. Left-leaning Republican here, so identifying themselves as a left-leaning Republican, who intends to vote for Biden. If they attack Amy on merits of faith, it'll definitely make me reconsider, if nothing else. Telling.
Wow. I mean, that really says it all. It's kind of what we were just talking about. And multiply that times many-fold in a state like Michigan or Wisconsin or Pennsylvania. And it really is, and especially considering with Barrett, I mean, she's from Indiana, right? She's from the Midwest, mm-hmm. you know, and so I really think they're playing with fire here.
I think she's from Louisiana. Wasn't she from Louisiana?
I thought she was a federal judge in Indiana.
Maybe yeah, she's from, I think she's from Louisiana originally. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I think it's going to take a lot of discipline on the part of Democrats not to cross that line. And, you know, normally in an election year, the presidential campaign runs the message, right? They are the boss. Everything goes through them. But right now, you know, we've never had a Supreme Court confirmation that it's the mother of all political battles in the middle of something like this. So I think it's going to be really hard for Democrats to, you know, practice discipline and avoid those personal attacks.
Even, yeah, and when you say Democrats, I mean, even if you're not hearing something from, you know, Chuck Schumer, it doesn't mean that they've got the control on every part of the media that seems to be their, you know, mouthpiece. They may come out and do it and cast a pall on the, you know, on the elected members that are Democrats.
That's right, just like this Newsweek thing. And in some ways, that's not fair. It happens on both sides. But, you know, what will be really telling is the hearing room. That's what really got the Kavanaugh thing. That's what really just caught fire. Because in those 2 days of testimony and comments from senators, I mean, it really was night and day. Because on one hand, you started thinking, oh, man, maybe this is a legit accusation. And then you hear his defense of himself. And as the story just sort of unraveled and her story unraveled, you know, that really backfired on Senate Democrats. And I think if they were, you know, being honest with you and talking privately, they would tell you that. And remember, the Republicans picked up ground in the 2018 election, so it really didn't cost them. It cost Democrats. Maybe that's a lesson. Maybe they'll learn the lesson from that. It's obviously a lot less seemly. It's more unseemly, maybe, to attack a woman personally, right? Mm-hmm. It's just hard. It's hard to watch that. And yep. So maybe that will be part of it, but my gut tells me that it's going to be really hard for them to resist.
Well, we'll watch how this happens. But you believe this timeline, it may be moved beyond November 3rd just to give some senators that are in tight races a little bit of cover.
Maybe. I don't know. I think I think the odds are that it will probably happen before Election Day. But the point is that Mitch McConnell is going to set the date and set the process that he needs to pick up as many votes as he can. And that's his only, I mean, this is, to Mitch McConnell, this is more important than Trump's reelection. And
yeah, it is.
That's his goal. And that's, you know, even if he loses the Senate, you know, getting a third Supreme Court justice in 4 years would be a huge accomplishment.
Yeah, and the judicial branch seems to be doing the job of the legislative branch anyway. So I'll leave it right there. Todd, as always, we appreciate our conversations. Once again, the website?
ALDailyNews.com. Click subscribe at the top to sign up for the email.
All right. Hopefully you get signed up for a college pick'em. I want to be able to talk trash with you each week, okay?
Absolutely.
All right. We're going to get that done. There he is, Todd Stacey. Coming back on this National Voter Registration Day, Secretary of State John Merrill joins us.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile online, FMTalk1065.com. Also check us out at Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and the good old-fashioned website, FMTalk1065.com. All right, I mentioned as we went into the news, we're joined by Alabama's Secretary of State, John Merrill. So y'all say hello to John Merrill. Hey.
How are you, my friend?
I'm good. I'm good. And I'm trying to, you know, of course, you're on my mind today because I everywhere on social media has been inundated with this National Voter Registration Day 2020. So I guess this is, they said it's a holiday. I don't know if you, I'm at work. Sounds like you're at work as always. I don't know about this.
Yes, sir.
So what is this all about? What's your take on National Voter Registration Day?
Well, look, one of the things that the national movement has done is to try to encourage people to recognize the importance of being a registered voter. And so as members of the National Association of Secretaries of State, one of the things that we do is we try to come together to promote voter registration at least one day a year through the National Voter Registration Day. Now, you know that for the last 5 years, 8 months, and 3 days, I've been the Secretary, Sean, we have made every day Voter Registration Day, which is why we've registered 1,647,294 new voters since I became the Secretary of State, and we now have a record 3,655,528 registered voters in Alabama. Those numbers are unprecedented, unparalleled, unsurpassed in the history of our state, and per capita, no state in the union has done what we've done in the same period of time. With 96% of all eligible African Americans being registered to vote, 91% of all eligible white Alabamians being registered to vote, and 94% of all eligible Alabamians being registered to vote. So we're excited about who we are, and this is just one day that's set aside to make sure that we remind people of the importance of registering to vote and participating in the democratic process.
Yeah, it's good to hear you say that and want people to hear it, and you can't say it too much on this station, because if they go look at some of the trolls on social media or maybe even mainstream media out there, it'll make it sound like in states like ours, it is so hard for someone to get registered to vote. It is so hard. The state is working against those people, Secretary.
No doubt about it, my friend.
Somehow the numbers you just lined up don't go with their narrative.
Well, it hurts their feelings when they realize what a good job we've been doing. And they like to push back then and say, look, you may be registering all these people, but what about voter participation? Well, all we do is break records for voter participation as well. We've broken them in the last six elections. So we continue to be excited about the great work that we're doing, not only in the area of registration, but in the area of voter participation, too. So we're doubly excited about the success that we're seeing, how people are becoming more involved and more active in the electoral process in the great state of Alabama.
Okay. I've got to ask this, as we look at these record setting, we're probably going to set records just because it's an anomaly year here when it comes to absentee votes.
Oh, no doubt. Now, look, the most absentee votes that we've ever had successfully returned in the history of the state was in the Obama reelect in 2012. We had 89,000 plus. In the Trump election in 16, we had 88,000 plus. And then when President Obama was elected to his first term in 2008, we had 88,000 plus as well. But we're going to be north of 150,000 people that have successfully returned their absentee ballot this year. As a matter of fact, just to put it in perspective for you, I think that we're going to crush that record, and it's not even going to be close. Because when you look at what's already happened this year, we actually have had 73,993 absentee ballot requests already submitted.
Wow.
15,740 have been successfully returned to date. And we still have 37 days left for applications to be made, and we still have 42 days for them to be returned.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we need to circle back there. And so the deadline, the cutoff for absentee to be in is when, or maybe we should say, when do you have to acquire it?
Well, you have to apply by October the 29th.
Okay.
And that's by the close of business on October the 29th.
At a Friday, I think. Is that? That's a Friday.
Lord, I have to look at my calendar. I can't tell you off the top of my head. But I will tell you that they have to be returned no later than noon on election day, which is the 3rd. The 29th is actually a Thursday.
Thursday, yeah, I'm seeing it here. Yes, oh, well, it was just a day off.
Yes, sir.
So, okay, you have to turn get those, and then they have to be turned in by when?
Have to be turned in by noon on election day.
Okay. How, somebody hearing this who has never absentee voted before, but they say, sure, you know, we can go through the reasons out there and the exceptions, but they're going to absentee vote. How different is this than going to the polls, Secretary of State?
Well, you know, it's not that different because you still have to go through the check-in process. Now, if you vote absentee in person, that means that you show up at your absentee election manager's office anytime that the regular business hours are operational between the day that it started, which was 18 days ago, all the way up until the day before the election, which is November the 2nd. You fill out the application. Of course, the application deadline is October the 29th. You submit a reason why you're voting absentee. Alabama is an absentee excuse state. So since we're in a declared state of emergency, in a pandemic, I actually have invoked Title 17-11-3, which gives me the ability as the Secretary of State to indicate a reason for people to vote absentee. The reason that we selected is the one that says I'm ill or infirmed and will be unable to appear at my polling place on election day. The absentee affidavit envelope says the same thing, and so you just need to check that box as you return it, and then you'll have an absentee ballot mailed to the location of your choice if you're not doing it in person. And then when you complete that, then you've done everything you need to do. They'll hold your ballot in a secure environment in a locked box until election day, and then your voice will be heard. Your vote will be counted for the candidate of your choice as if you were voting at one of our 1,980 polling sites in the state of Alabama.
Talking with Secretary of State John Merrill about a couple of things, National Voters Registration Day and the vote coming up. What is it like? Pull the curtain back for us. For those absentees go into those, ballots go into those lock boxes. Then it's election day. Is there like a room with people that are opening it and running it through one of those scanner machines, or how does that work?
That's exactly right, my friend. And the Democratic Party and the Republican Party will have people present when that's going on. Of course, the absentee election manager will be in charge because we think we will have a deluge of people who will be voting absentee. We actually have hired additional absentee workers to help the absentee election manager, and we have provided an additional tabulator so that they will be able to have another machine to run the ballots through on election day.
Okay, so, I mean, y'all are ready for this. You know what's coming.
You got that right. Now, look, let me tell you something, Sean. The day to be concerned about whether or not you're prepared is not October the 25th, October the 28th, and November the 2nd. The day to be concerned is September the 22nd, September the 23rd, September the 24th, when you can do something about it. And that's what we're doing every day while we prepare for a successful administration of the 2020 general election.
it won't be our votes holding things up on the night of November 3rd or the day of November 4th or 5th.
You got that right.
It'll be other states, but it won't be Alabama, which is my state. So I'm happy to know that. All right. If people, once again, are listening to us here and they said, okay, I did. I heard what the secretary said, and I do want to get an absentee ballot. Once again, the process for that is what? Starting today, what should somebody do?
Oh, sure. A couple of things. If they want to do it in person, just go to your absentee election manager's office at your courthouse. That's usually the circuit clerk. Then you can fill out your absentee application. They'll give you your ballot after you present a copy of your photo ID. Then you can vote for the candidate of your choice and turn it into that person that day. If you want to do it through the mail, then you can request an absentee ballot application by contacting that person on the phone. Or you can go to our website at alabamavotes.gov. You can complete a fillable PDF on our website, or you can print out a blank sheet and you can handwrite it. You can mail it in and tell them the address where you'd like your ballot mailed after you include a copy of your valid photo ID. They will forward that back to you. Then you vote for the candidate of your choice. You return it to the absentee election manager, either in person or through the mail. Then they'll hold it in a secured environment until election day. Then your vote will be counted for the candidate of your choice on November the 3rd. Those are the first votes that are reported every election day.
There we go. Now that is explanatory that I can understand, and I appreciate it. And we'll be talking, I'm sure, a lot more between now and November 3rd.
Sean, you're a great American.
Hey, you want hands off to you and the rest of the Secretary of State's office that makes it happen. We always appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you, my friend. Talk to you soon.
Will do. Secretary of State John Merrill checking in, and we're coming right back. It's Midday Mobile.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 152 FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Chuck Schumer speaking. I'm sure he's not happy. Doesn't look happy. I have no audio. I'm just looking at the picture there on one of our monitors here in the studio. It does not look happy. Just a guess. So, duly noted, Chuck Schumer, not happy. Oh, by the way, too, I saw this, and I'm going to give this a little bit of grief, but it's not completely. I mean, it's kind of tongue-in-cheek. I understand what they're doing. They got a job to do, but this was from Florida Health Escambia. Says, during storm cleanup, drain standing water in buckets and other items in your yard to prevent mosquito-borne illness. Right, so we talk about that. Talk about with our buddy Austin Key from Arrow about getting those things out of your yard that, or the Playboy Mansion for mosquitoes, right? The grotto there. Don't have those. But I want to point out that it makes some difference, but the kind of water they have in Escambia County, just laying out in the woods and laying in yards and all that. I mean, but dump out the buckets. Don't have the old tires with water in them, but you're still going to have mosquitoes. I mean, my gosh, the amount of water over there. That's just going to be standing, not just off in the bottomlands, just all around out there. All right. Travis. So Travis asked, do I think you should be required to complete the census to vote? Interesting, Travis. He knows my buttons to push here on this census thing. I hope something happens last minute here that this comes around. I know I've been preaching to y'all, and y'all have done great. Got a bunch of people in the state that have not done great. As congressional districts go, AL1 is second from the bottom in the percentage of census that have been returned or filled out online. I mean, it takes 4 minutes. It's ridiculously easy. Should you be required to complete the census to vote? Travis, I don't, I want to go two different ways on that. Yes and no. I mean, part of me wants to say no, because it's not stipulated in the Constitution, I don't think so. I mean, they're both things are stipulated in the Constitution, but one is not an ergo for the second that I can think. But yes, in the fact that why do you have representation? This has been my frustration with the census counting people that aren't citizens. Because the number one job of the census is to appoint representation by population of citizens. We're not representing people that aren't citizens. You divvy up, you gerrymander the country, depending on this, how many people there are, to have equal population districts. More population, more districts. Less population, less. Wyoming has one. By the way, Wyoming on my short list to, you know, maybe live half the year out there at some point. So, Travis, you make an argument that is at least interesting. And Dan, okay, Dan, you're correct. Dan says, I think there should be several requirements to vote. Census may be a good place to start. An inherent right to vote is not stipulated in the Constitution. That is true. Inherent right of representation is. Right, so you can go through, and I mean, we can go back and play the game I've played for decades, right? Just like how the senators are really just your ambassadors to Washington, and that all changed, right? All right, so should it be like selective service? You know, remember, like if you turned 18, man, dudes, y'all remember? I mean, I remember my house too. They said, "Don't mess it up; they'll come get you." It's what my dad said. But you know, you register, you turn 18, you register for selective service. What about something like that? I don't know. I don't know how you navigate that. Travis, I'll say this. Interesting thought process there. Maybe we could talk that out going forward. What would be, and Dan, if you want to enumerate those, you said several requirements to vote. And if you're going to go into some kind of land tax thing, you know, some kind of poll tax thing. I don't think that's where we want to go with it, right? So list those. And we'll talk about them on the show later on this week, okay? So you can list out, you're saying there's several requirements to vote. Census is number one. You said several would be three. So census is one. What's number two? What's number three? You could drop those in. All right. By the way, too, I heard Jeff talking about it earlier. We got another 8 days or so to talk about this, but the 2-cent gas tax increase takes effect October 1st. It's the second phase of Alabama's 10-cent gas tax increase. Story over at WKRG.com. So the first phase, remember that, was 6 cents. Began September of last year. Tax increase will bring the state's total gas tax 26 cents per gallon, with funds going towards road and bridge construction across Alabama. So, yeah, that's coming. And it's probably easier for them to do this now when gas prices are a little bit lower. And remember, it is not percentage-based. It is, it's 2 cents. It's not a percentage of the total price of gas. So, obviously, the lower the price of gas, the bigger that 2 cents seems. The higher the price of gas, the less it seems. But we have 8 hours a day of live vocal radio. Actually, I mean, we're usually 10 to 13 hours a day of live vocal radio to talk about it. So we continue to do that right here on FM Talk 106.5 and online at fmtalk1065.com. All right, Paul Feinbaum Show next. I'll talk to y'all tomorrow.